Today, right now, on VFN TV, we have Art Thomas with us talking about his 40-day paid in full activation and the healing ministry manual. It is so exciting. We're seeing these things take place in our lives. We're seeing it take place in others' lives. We want it to take place in your lives today, right now, on VFN TV.
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated from attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, but we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, for the churches ahead. But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the Word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining us today is Art Thomas with Art Thomas Ministries. Hey, Art, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
I am so excited to have you on again. Since you last have been on, we had a chance of being able to take the 40-day, paid in full activation manual for healing ministry, and it is powerful. It's basic. It's the Word of God put out in a certain way. I mean, God obviously has given a grace to you guys to be able to produce this in the time that you produced it. But so how are things going with you first? Talk to us about what's happening.
Things are going great. Been traveling a lot. This past Sunday, I was in Quincy, Michigan. We had the people praying for each other at the end of the meeting.
Right.
One woman had a deaf ear for 31 years open up.
Praise God.
Another woman had breast cancer and the lump and all the pain disappeared.
Praise God.
Yep. We had, in the morning service, there was a woman who had hypothyroidism and she had goiters all around her neck.
Yes.
And while we were praying for her, they started to shrink and she was amazed because she could put her head down and swallow, which normally if she was looking at her phone, she'd have to tip her head way up and swallow so that she could get it.
Right.
But she could swallow then and they were shrinking more. And then by the evening service, they were almost totally gone. So
praise
continuing
God.
To shrink. Yeah. So we didn't
exciting.
Get to see them all the way gone, but it was pretty cool seeing that. Her husband was shocked. That was fun.
right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Since we started walking through you know, paid in full. We've got to see, you know, several miracles where God's healed the rotator cuff in the shoulder.
Awesome.
That's been for like 2 or 3 years in pain. Back, an ear, a major ear infection that seemed, it was, they described it almost like labor pains. It was so bad in her ear, and a carpal tunnel syndrome. And God's just the healer, isn't he?
Isn't he? Yeah.
That's so exciting, man. But, yep. You know, this, I mean, I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't yet, you know, got this book, you need to go and get it. It is so powerful. We're going to be talking about this today and hopefully in tomorrow's program as well. But it's brilliant because you're going, I'm going to walk into the and learn about this healing. And the first thing, of course, you begin to learn about is yourself and God and the importance of forgiveness and grace and how much he loves us. And I mean, this is an awesome journey for people to be able to go on. And it's just God touched you guys with a grace to
Thanks.
Do it. And now I really know because the time frame y'all did it. That is God. That's how God does it, right? It's just like a download,
yeah.
You know, all of a sudden.
Yeah, we were cranking at the end there to get all our products out in time for the movie launch. And so we had a month to write it. And
wow.
There it was. Yeah, cranked
wow.
it out.
And it's beautifully done. It's biblically
Thanks.
Correct. And you write it in such a grace. There's such a grace to you in your presentation of the gospel. And, you know, if you go back and you study those, like you did, John G. Lake and other ones, and you think, man, that was pretty harsh. And they were blaming everybody for everything instead of taking ownership, you know. And I
yeah.
love the way that, you know, when you take ownership, you walk in fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
When you cast off, you know, the consequences of your behavior and others, you know, you don't worry about anything.
Yeah.
And it was just so authentic. And I'd like to be able to talk about it. Because
yeah.
There's a couple things to talk about. Now, one of the first thing you start talking about, which I think is really important, is, you know, is healing really for everyone?
Uh-huh.
You know, is it really for everyone? Because there's so many myths, there's so many justifications, and the adversary is just lined up to be able to agree with everything that we go with. So talk about that a little. That's the first thing that you talk about, address in the book, is healing really for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first you've got the scripture side of things, right?
Right.
You got Mark 16, 17 and 18, where Jesus said, it's chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, where Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe. And the last sign of the list is they will put their hands on the sick and they will recover. So that's, I mean, some people don't like the Mark 16 one because it's not in all manuscripts.
Right.
But something that is in all manuscripts is John 14, 12, where Jesus said, everyone who believes in me will do the same things I've been doing. In fact, greater works
things.
Than these will he do.
Wow.
And if you look in the context, he's talking about the miracles.
Right.
He's saying, if you don't believe me, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves, right?
Right, right.
So so that's the scripture side. And I mean, there's so much more scripture that mm-hmm. backs it up too, but those are the really solid ones. It's for everyone who believes in him that'll do the same things.
Right.
And then we've also got the anecdotal side now where, you know, we're going to all these places. You know, in the last 4 years, I've witnessed roughly 3,000 miracles.
3,000 miracles. Praise
yeah.
God.
But the vast majority of those didn't happen through my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going into a church. I'm teaching everybody how to do this, turning them loose on each other. Like all the testimonies I just shared from that church,
right.
with the exception of the thyroid goiters,
mm-hmm.
right? I didn't touch those people. The
right.
deaf ear that opened up, it was just one of the ordinary guys in the church, and he
Praise
comes
God.
Up to me
That's
afterward.
Awesome.
He goes, I can't believe it. It works.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
It's for everybody.
Yeah. And so, you know, that this the and the thing I think, too, the angle that so often the human nature we look at things, we're so focused just on the problem versus God who loves us.
Yeah,
wants us to be well, and he wants mm-hmm. to demonstrate, you know, his love for us. And the next thing you talk about is the price Jesus paid. I mean, you
yeah.
talked about that, the price Jesus paid for us. And you were quick to say, you know, your sins, he paid for your sins. You know, your sins
uh-huh.
are covered, you know. And then a lot of people just stop there, right?
Yep.
And so
yep.
talk to us a little about, you know, everything that was paid for on the cross by yeah. the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot behind it, and we yeah. could talk a lot about that one. But first and foremost, you've got Isaiah 53, which is kind of the classic atonement passage. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. And actually, if you look that up in the Greek, or actually if you use the Amplified Bible, it says he was wounded for our transgressions, And in parentheses there, it talks about our sicknesses, weaknesses, infirmities. If you look up in Matthew 8, when Matthew is talking about all the sick being brought to Jesus and he's laying hands on all of them and healing them all, it says this was to fulfill, this was in fulfillment of the prophet's words that he bore our sickness.
Right.
And that was actually a quote of that passage. So when we say, surely he's borne our griefs, Matthew says that's about sickness and it's in the context of physical healing. So there is this camp of people who will say, well, when it says by his stripes we're healed, it's talking metaphorically about our forgiveness, our spiritual healing, not our physical healing. The Hebrew word there is Rapha, mm-hmm. Which is the first descriptive name of God, Jehovah Rapha.
Right.
He is the Lord our healer. And if you look that up in the Old Testament, it's used multiple times. The vast majority, it always means physical healing.
Right.
There are about, I think it's four or so cases where it clearly does mean forgiveness.
Right.
There's a few cases that it's unclear on. Some it's metaphorical healing.
And a lot of times those are together. Forgiveness and healing come together, which is easier for me to say.
And that's exactly it. So what you've got is forgiveness, healing. Rapha is this all-encompassing word that refers to physical, spiritual, emotional salvation.
Right.
And wholeness is really a better term. And the same thing happens in the Greek with this word soteria, which we use as salvation. It can also be translated health. And the Greek word sozo, which is it's translated save, is sometimes translated heal or make whole. So you see that used in healing passages, in forgiveness passages. Not only that, you brought up the paralytic, right?
Right.
He's lowered through the roof at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus looks at the man and says, son, your sins are forgiven.
And they were insulted, weren't they? They were all insulted.
Bingo.
They were all
thinking, you know, he can't do that. No one can forgive sins but God, right?
Right, right.
So Jesus looks at them and he says, which is easier to say? To say to this man, your sins are forgiven, or get up, take your mat, and go home?
Right.
Now, technically, to the listeners, to those who were hearing his words, both were impossible because no one can forgive sins but God.
Right.
So to say which is easier was kind of a trick question in their minds. Like, you know, they're both impossible. How can you say which is easier? But on top of that, if we were to kind of layer this a little, if I say to you, your sins are forgiven, there's no way anybody knows whether or not that worked. You know, it could just be empty words.
Yes.
But if I say, get up, take your mat, and go home, either it works or it doesn't, and it's going to happen in front of everybody.
Right.
So there is a social difficulty for that.
Yes, yes.
But Jesus says, to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, get up, take your mat, and go home.
Wow.
If forgiveness and healing were not linked, that would not have been proof.
Wow. Yeah.
See, if his authority to forgive and his authority to heal were not the same, then he couldn't have said that my authority to heal is proof of my authority to forgive. So there is this intimate link, and over throughout Scripture, you see healing and forgiveness mentioned together. You see it in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
James 5, when it talks about the prayer of faith, it says the prayer of faith will make the sick person well, the Lord will raise him up. If he's sinned, he'll be forgiven.
Right.
And where did that come from? Well, it was, you know, it's part of the package. I like to say the blood of Jesus is messy. You get a little on you for one thing, it's there for the rest, right?
Awesome. Totally awesome. I think about this. I know we got to go to a break, but you talk about, you know, Jehovah Rapha. That was when God was bringing Israel out of captivity, out of the bondage of slavery. They're coming through the Red Sea and they're in this desert and he wants to reveal himself in the midst of bitterness. The bitter waters, and they missed it. They totally missed that God could fix the waters. You know, he could fix it. And they took a stick, right? He took the stick and put it into the water, and it made it drinkable. But he said that's what he's wanting to reveal himself as healer. That was the first revelation coming out of Israel, wasn't it? Out of Egypt.
Yeah. And when he specifically used the name Jehovah Rapha, it was in reference to being set free and whole, safe from all of Egypt's diseases.
I mean, that is exciting. We'll be right back in just a moment after this break. I'm so excited to finish talking about more from R. Thomas.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can you move your arm now?
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking with Art Thomas. Art, this is so encouraging just thinking about the first revelation that the Father God, the creator of all things, wanted to reveal to his people, his chosen people, was that I'm your healer. I want to heal you. You know,
yep.
I'm your doctor. I'll take care of all that, you know,
yep.
With Jehovah Rapha. You know, here we are, you know, before we go to the next thing, I'm thinking about, you know, in your book, and we're talking about the paid in full 40-day activation menu. You've got to get this. You've got to get it. It's going to bless your heart and activate you in what God's called us to do. You know, here, I can imagine, Art, you know, that, you know, the Pentecost happens, the church is birthed, and these signs happen, and people are healed, and, you know, just great things happen. And all of a sudden, everybody goes back in their house and turns on their cable and just goes off into their sports and gets lost in their hobbies. I mean, what are you seeing? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as Francis Chan writes in his book, Crazy Love, about being obsessed with God, I mean, we got to be just, you know, what are you finding out? You know, it's because your desire is like our desire is to activate Christians and be in the church that God's called us to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Wherever you go. So what are you finding in regard to that? Because he can get, I mean, he always does what he says he's going to do, but what do we do with what he does? Does that make sense?
Yeah. A message that's been on my heart recently that I actually just preached Sunday morning, and it's on my podcast if anyone wants to hear it. But based on this premise that the wise and foolish builders, right, this right. parable Jesus told, and some people think that the wise man builds his house on the rock, which is what Jesus said, and when the rain came, the house stood firm. The foolish man built his house on sand. When the floods came, it just fell apart, right?
Right.
And a lot of people think that the rock represents either Jesus or the Word, but it actually doesn't. If you look it up in Luke 6, what Jesus said is, you know, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say?
Yes.
And he said, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock, and when the rains came, it stood firm. But the one who hears my word and doesn't put it into practice is like the man who builds his house on the sand, and when the rains come, it falls apart. So both builders had the word.
Right.
And I think that's what's happened in a lot of the American churches. We've got this saturation with the word,
yeah.
And we think that because we are, you know, feeding ourselves on this stuff, that we are therefore on solid ground.
Right.
But your solid ground in that parable is not the word.
Right.
The solid ground is your response to, your obedience to the word, putting it into practice. You were designed for action.
Right.
So, you know, I've noticed, you know,
that's
when
powerful what you're saying.
Oh,
that's
it's
very
true.
That's true. I know it's so true. That is so
don't
true.
Be hearers of the word only, but be doers. Right?
And
faith
deceived.
Without works is dead.
He calls it being merely deceived.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we got to break out of that, so we're not deceived.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
So when Jesus gave the Great Commission and ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he didn't intend for his disciples to then get down on their knees and say, "Lord, would you please save the lost?"
Right. Yes.
You know, he intended for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Matthew 10:8, when he said to his disciples, "Heal the sick,"
right.
He didn't intend for them to ask the Father to heal the sick. Right.
Right
he intended
right.
for them to go. So and for that matter. Just as you said, he didn't intend for us to go, you know, sit back and just relax and coast through life and and hope that someday someone will like our lifestyle and ask us questions about Jesus,
right?
Like it is go into all the world, make disciples. The
right.
action in those verses is on my part.
Right.
I'm supposed to go, not let the world come to you. You go.
Right.
Not let them by osmosis slowly become disciples.
Right.
No, you go and make disciples.
It's the go. And, it's the go-y church, not the come-y church.
That's it.
Yeah.
And in Matthew 28, the often overlooked portion of that is make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded
everything.
You.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Which includes Matthew 10:8,
right.
Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons.
Right.
Freely you receive, freely give. So this is, you know, my job as a minister of the gospel is to teach you to obey
right.
the teachings of Jesus and to his commands, his commission to go into all the world, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and all those things. That's who we are. It's what we're commissioned to do. And one of my favorite passages, James 1, verse 22, when it says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers, right? It continues from there, and he says, Anyone who hears the word and doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Mm-hmm. So that means when you hear the word of God, he's telling you what you look like. Right. He says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right. He says that, you know, Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Ephesians 2:6, that I am right now seated in the on the throne with Jesus in the heavenly realms. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm united with him in spirit. You know, right. So there are these realities, and if I walk away and live any differently,
right,
then I've forgotten what I look like.
Wow.
You are able to heal the sick because right. Christ is in you. You are seated on the throne with him. His spirit dwells in you.
Right.
The anointing you've received abides in you, right?
Right, right.
So we're able. And if we don't go out and do this stuff, it's simply because we've forgotten what we look like.
Wow.
We have to put what we've heard into practice. Don't forget what you look like.
I like what you say, too, is I quit asking Jesus to do what he told me to do.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's almost like people are offing their responsibilities on others, what God's called us to do. How does that balance out at the throne room? I mean, how does that balance out when we spend our whole life expecting other people to do what we didn't do, or we were too afraid or too fearful or too ashamed to bring Jesus up? Because I know that, I think it was James, maybe it was right in the book, he talks about he went back to his workplace and people started making fun of him. And he still asked for, he still believed for healing.
Yep.
And then the people that made it in front of him eventually came over and said, okay, pray for me. And God healed this man who made it in front of him right there in the office, the thing that was going on with him. And I mean, you have confrontations in life mm-hmm. when you go out, right? I mean, but that's actually not a bad thing. He says this is a good thing, right? In
right.
God's eyes, right?
Right. Well, Revelation 12:11 gives us this key for how to overcome Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And it is by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.
Right.
Now, here in America, we've got it easy, you know.
Right now, we're not
suffering. Yeah,
yeah,
right now at least.
Yeah, right.
And we're not suffering and under threat of death like a lot of our brothers and sisters are overseas. But, you know, to not love your life so much as to shrink from death kind of encompasses a lot of other things,
mm-hmm.
like to not love your life so much as to shrink from losing your job,
very
or
good.
To not love your life so much as to shrink from, you know, your family members being upset with you or losing friends or anything like that. So
that's very appropriate. That's the real
deal.
It's like, well, I'm going to lose my wife. I'm going to lose my kids,
yeah.
my parents, my
yeah.
job, my money.
Yeah.
You know, my house, my things, my stuff. The rich young ruler
uh-huh.
felt that way, and he walked away from Jesus. Jesus
exactly.
still loved him, but yet
yep.
he walked away from God because he
yep.
had many things. He chose
yep.
his things over God.
Yep.
Wow.
In fact, something else I've been preaching recently mm-hmm. is, you know, you've got a lot of folks, going back to Revelation 12:11,
mm-hmm.
got a lot of folks who are like, man, I just feel like the devil's got the upper hand. He's just piling all this stuff on me. And this isn't always the case, but my first go-to place now is to say, when's the last time you shared your testimony without concern for the consequences?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Revelation 12:11 says that's how you overcome Satan.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you're under the enemy, you
yes.
need to get him under your feet. And the way you do that is through action.
Yes.
You know, the wise and foolish builders, the rain came to both of them.
Right.
This flood came to both. But the one who was putting what he heard into action is the one who stood firm. So, you know, trials are going to happen.
Right.
In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart because I've overcome the world. If I'm walking in action, then I am in the overcoming role of Jesus. I am partnering with him in his victory.
Right.
And that means I get to overcome even the flood that's trying to overcome me.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what we're called to, is to put this into action. Go heal the sick. Go make disciples. Preach the gospel. Love people. Represent Jesus to them. In this world, we are like him.
That's so powerful. First, I'm going to go to a break, but I've seen people when they finally say their real testimony, I mean, it's almost the oppression comes off of them.
Uh-huh.
I saw one particular person that their face just lifted up when they
yep.
finally said, I'm bad. I was really
yeah.
bad.
yeah.
And we all are. That's the fact that we say we're Christians means we realize that we needed a savior. We needed to be saved
yep.
from ourselves and
yep.
saved from our sins. And that's very powerful. This movie's coming up. Called War Room. You got to take your time to go see this movie because it just ignites the desire again to begin to talk to the Father, to pray. It's called War Room. Check it out.
You've been a good enough father. I want to be a good enough father. Let's go, let's go!
Don't quit! Don't quit!
You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. Praise you, Jesus. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Lord, we need an army of believers and will stand on your word above all else. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees. Who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Is it lawful to censor religion at a public school graduation? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I hear all the time around this time of year that valedictorians of high school classes aren't able to use the name of Jesus Christ in their speeches. We had a young man at a high school graduation I attended recently that not only proclaimed the name of Jesus as his Lord and Savior publicly, but explained that he was the only way of salvation. And at the end of his speech, he received a standing ovation. There are young men and young women who are still allowed to do that.
Well, Nancy, you know, that's great news. And the fact of the matter is, if a student is selected as the valedictorian or the class president, and they're entitled to speak, they cannot have a religious message censored. That's called viewpoint discrimination.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day. From Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember, our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff. It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, welcome back. We're talking with Art Thomas, the 40-day paid in full activation manual for healing. You've got to be able to get this. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out more details about it. But also I want to tell you that Art's going to be right here in the VFN-TV studios on August the 28th through the 30th. And we're so excited about, you know, Art being here. And we're just thankful for you. We're thankful for your sacrifice. And it took a lot of dying processes over the years, I'm sure, to be able to get to this point. And we appreciate your deaths. It was just
it's
a sweet fragrance. Yeah. Yeah. May he rest in peace. So, we just talked about, two parts of the manual, and I want to talk about this next part, but also just want to reiterate that, healing is for the fullness of everything that the Word of God says we are, is who we are and what we do. And it's called being merely deceived. If we just learn and learn and learn. I remember when God called me out from where I was, like you were an associate somewhere, and I was ministering with my spiritual father. And it got to a point, if I heard one more message, I was like, I could really feel like I was choking on the words, because I was so full of the Word. And the Lord was just telling me, you're going to have to give this out. You can't take in any more. You're going to have to start giving it out. And the more I gave it out, the better things got.
Yeah.
And can you imagine how the church just going with what that's what we're believing for, just activating the body of Christ. With that, with that comes the next part of your manual, where it talks about, well, you wrote about the process of times when there seems to be nothing happening, processing that. I love that, processing it. I love the way you think, and cause that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just shut down, stop, or whatever, versus one man told me, he says, I never lift my experience above what my faith in God and what God says.
Yeah.
Years ago you told me that. So talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we do need, processing is probably the best word I could come up with, of what happens. Somebody's not healed, and we're trying to figure out what to do with that. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, down in the valley, this dad brings his son to the rest of the disciples and tells them about this tragic story of this demon that's been throwing his son into, fire and water, trying to kill him with seizures, right? And they gave it their best shot, and it didn't work. And, this is the only place in the Bible where we can find someone trying to minister healing in Jesus' name, and it didn't work. And so Jesus, Peter, James, and John come off the mountain, and in one of the gospel accounts, it says he found them arguing with the teachers of the law that were there.
Right.
So it's like, I think it was Jonathan who co-authored the book. I heard him say one time, anytime there's a lack of results, it results in arguments. Wow, we tend to try to placate our hurt emotions and the fact that we feel uncomfortable and that our expectations weren't met. Mm-hmm. And so we want to dodge responsibility. We want to feel more comfortable again. I've noticed that as Americans, we tend to highly value numbness. It's like the slightest bit of discomfort, you take a pill,
Yes.
It's like, unless I'm just numb to the world around me, I'm not happy or comfortable.
Right.
When, sometimes we need that discomfort. Sometimes it's actually good. I heard a story one time about a guy who didn't have a sense of touch and ended up burning his hand because he didn't realize it was burning. It's like you have to be sensitized to things that are not right. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yes.
So it's like there's someone you've been praying for, and the healing hasn't come, and it hasn't come, and it hasn't come. And it's the hope that you're expecting, the healing, mm-hmm. is being put off and put off and put off until finally your heart's sick. And then that person dies, and you're like, man, I really blew it, or someone blew it. And we decide, our heart is hurting so bad, and our heart is sickened by that experience. We start to form a theology out of the hurt and the sickness rather than out of the life and ministry of Jesus. So that's where we have to actually process this. Okay, when Jesus came down off that mountain and the boy's dad came to Jesus and said, listen, I brought my boy to your disciples. They couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, bring the boy to me, right?
Right.
And then he did it. Right. So then not only that, the disciples asked Jesus later, why couldn't we do what you could do? And in Matthew 17, his answer is because you had so little faith. And he said, if you had the faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and thrown in the sea, and it would be done. So the evidence of faith is the mountain moving.
Right.
To say, I had all the faith in the world and they weren't healed. Honestly, it's not true.
Right.
You might have had all the belief in the world and all the expectancy in the world, but faith is trust. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes because we have so much belief and expectancy, we try in our effort even harder instead of trusting.
Right.
So sometimes your belief and expectancy can get in your way.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I like what you say. Do less, trust more.
Yep. I think I said that last time I was here, that if you've tried this hard and it didn't work, try less and trust more. See what happens. Yeah.
It's powerful. I like too, you know, what you're talking about, and everybody looks for these outs instead of like, just don't look for an out. You know, they say, well, you know, that Jesus said some comes out by prayer and fasting, but he didn't pray and fast.
Right.
You know, he lived an abiding lifestyle. His lifestyle was one that, you know, can you address that a little bit? Because a lot of people just go, well, you know, I'm not fasting. You know, if I was fasting, this would have happened. You know, like their lack of food would have actually moved the devil versus their faith in God.
Yeah, I think that was Mark's account of the same story. And when the disciples asked, why couldn't we do it? He said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Number one, no matter how you interpret that verse, the responsibility was still placed on the disciples. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't blame the little boy. He didn't say he didn't have faith or anything like that. He didn't even blame the boy's dad. And so that's good news for parents who have kids with terminal illness or something like that.
Right.
Like, the responsibility is not on your shoulders. Your job is to care for your child, continue to love them, continue to pray for them, keep having other Christians pray for them, bring them to the body of Christ so we can minister together.
Yes.
But your responsibility is just to love them and care for them. Yeah. But then what he does is he puts the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of the disciples. If the sick person had to be any part of the equation, then Jesus could not have walked in 100% results.
Right.
But he did.
Right.
So, you know, the prayer and fasting thing, Jesus, first of all, he didn't say, hang on, guys, this is a tough demon. I'm going to go fast for 3 days. I'll be back, you know.
Right, right.
And he didn't say, Father, would you please take the demon out? He said, come out of this boy, you impure spirit.
Right.
And then if you look at when Jesus taught about prayer and fasting in Matthew 6, he teaches it in the context of intimacy.
Yes.
He says, you know, don't do these things out in public for everyone to see. Do it in secret so that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so I've learned, like, this was actually not a teaching on some demons have to be fasted out.
Right.
It was a teaching on you guys aren't walking in intimacy with God.
Right.
And if you were walking in that intimacy, your trust level would be higher, which means you would be in faith. So the two different gospel accounts are actually saying the same thing. We need to be walking in relational intimacy with God, which is the place where faith is born, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We've got to hear his voice. We've got to be in communion with him. That's where faith springs up from. Faith and love spring from hope, is in another passage.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that if we've got this hope in him, that he is the anchor for our souls, and we only find that out because we're entering boldly to the throne of grace, you know, there has to be this connection with Jesus on that level where faith happens, where trust happens. Mm-hmm. And so this kind goes out by prayer and fasting. What it really means is the intimacy thing.
And we always talk about abiding with the Lord is so important, because apart from abiding in him, we could do nothing.
Uh-huh.
We have a place that people can get a simple abiding plan. It's iabide.org. You see it on your screen. We have a simple plan for you so you can begin to do what Art is talking about, what Jesus wants us to do, is to hang out with him, be intimate with him in knowledge, and then things just happen, right?
Yeah, in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 19, you've got this story of the seven sons of Sceva who were out there trying to cast, and it says they were casting out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, until they finally met this one demon that said, Jesus I know, and Paul I've heard of, but who are you?
Right.
Jumped on them, beat them, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Yeah. And what I've learned when you put that story with the other one, some demons are looking for intimacy. For a person who has a life of intimacy with Jesus.
This man's been with God.
Exactly.
They know.
And so they're not looking for a second hand in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Like, if you don't know Jesus, they're going to call you out on it.
Right.
Some demons are just going to go.
Right.
And we know that's true because Jesus said that on that day there will be those who say, Lord, Lord, I drove out demons in your name. I worked mighty miracles, prophesied in your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yes.
So you can get really far without intimacy.
Yes.
But there are some demons, this kind goes out by prayer and fasting. That one demon recognized, oh, wait, these guys don't have intimacy with Jesus. I'm not falling for this.
Right.
So, the name of Jesus has power, but that's only going to get you so far. You have to know God.
I don't know if you know this or not, but they also Art produced a movie called Paid in Full. And a byproduct of that was this manual. As a matter of fact, take a look right now. You got to get this movie. Take a look.
I had cancer, and it was a glioblastoma multiforme tumor, which is stage 4 cancer.
I got the flu really bad, and I went to the hospital, and I was in kidney failure. Turns out I had a degenerative kidney disease.
I broke my pinky toe.
More so in my right ear, but my left ear not as much.
I sprained my MCL.
I hurt myself real bad.
And how long is it?
15.
But take heart, for I have overcome the world.
We just started praying, and the tumors just started disappearing.
And I went in for the ultrasound, and my kidneys had actually regrown the membrane within that 6 months, and the doctor came in and said, you're completely healed.
And the next day I got prayed for, and my pinky toe totally got healed.
Wow, that's good.
Everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, and he healed. He did not ignore the sick. It was a mission of his to see the sick healed.
You got to realize that it's based on Christ, and it's based on our obedience to what he says to do.
He never intended for his creation to walk in sickness and disease and weakness, and he wants to bring about restoration.
Speaking about Jesus, but without showing the power of Jesus, you are meaning nothing to people.
The price was paid in full at Calvary. That's where the price is paid for. Our job is to work out how we get the realities of heaven to earth.
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be just like our daddy, to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Healing ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
We know who God is. We know what Jesus can do. We just don't know what we can do. And it says we can do all things.
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. When you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFQ TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Art Thomas about his book, 40 Days Paid in Full, Activation Manual, Healing Manual, kind of going through it. And talking about it. Art, there's one thing I want to talk about before we go to the next thing. I love the way that you really live out the words of Paul when he says, I don't come to you with any enticing words. Yeah, but it's so important, right? Because some people are like, I don't have that kind of charismatic ability. I can't sing. I can't dance.
Uh-huh.
And I like the way that you downplay your role to make sure that God is multiplied, you know, that he's glorified.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people, they, you know, respond to the charismatic person more so than to, it is not me. Then they start judging the charismatic person because they really thought it was the person versus it was God in the person that did that. So what was your, you know, what got you to that point? Because I know we come from the assemblies.
Yeah. we come from backgrounds where, you know, you got to get downright Pentecostal before somebody can get healed. And there's got to be some jumping and shouting and shaking hands and maybe rubbing the hair off the person's forehead or something.
And that's exhausting. And, I mean, just face it. That's exhausting.
And the people just weren't getting healed.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, many people have heard my story of the first healing I had encountered of God using me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I even shared it on the last time I was on the program. But in summary, I basically healed the guy on accident.
Right.
It was like I didn't believe I could do it. I wasn't expecting it to work. I was just, you know, trying to think of something goofy to do and shoved my finger in this intern's ear and said, open. And his ear opened up.
Right.
And, like, I realized I did everything wrong, you know? I didn't say in Jesus' name like you're supposed to. I didn't feel the right feeling, think the right thought, say the right words. And I realized it wasn't about what I believe. It was about who I believe. If I just have this trust in Jesus, my job is to do my part. His job is to do his part.
Right.
I think sometimes I try to do some of his part.
Right.
And so I'm trying to push power up my arm, or I'm trying to, like, twist his arm enough to convince him and get him to move when he's like, no, I've already decided. If you'll just put your hand there, I'll take care of the rest, you know?
Right.
So the times when I see the most healings are the times when I try the least. And that has stuck with me. That was back in August 2009.
That's very important.
That stuck with me.
That's very important because our works he doesn't accept anyway. It gets in the way of what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, I know the next thing you want to talk about in your book is, you know, overcoming the obstacles of healing ministry, things that we run into. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's all kinds of obstacles, roadblocks you hit, things that either try to get you to stop doing healing ministry, things that discourage you. In fact, discouragement is one of them.
Right.
You know, sometimes we've been trying and we're not seeing results. And to be perfectly honest, like even me, seeing all these miracles all the time, like I still face it, you know?
Right.
I just had a conversation of a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine who's also does a lot of this. In fact, he's in the movie, John Mark Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, like, man, I just had a couple duds of meetings, you know?
Right.
I had a word of knowledge and called someone up in front of everybody and laid hands on them and nothing happened, you know?
Right.
And so it's easy to suddenly forget all the thousands of miracles that you've witnessed before and just feel down. And so you need to encourage one another. And so he and I had both had some duds of meetings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People still got healed.
Right.
And that was the joke and what we kind of arrived at. Like, man, 6 years ago, if five miracles happened in one of my meetings, I'd be freaking out.
They write books about them and build churches around them. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now I'm like, man, I only had five miracles happen in that meeting of 20 people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's great that my mind's been renewed
right.
on one side and that seems like a small potatoes thing, you know? But it's also not good that I'm forgetting to be thankful for even the small things.
Right.
So that's when the Lord corrected me, and it was through that encouragement, discouragement was dealt with. Other obstacles, doubts, fears, intimidation, you know, things like that. I think a lot of us, we give a lot more credit to our thoughts than we actually should.
Right.
So what happens is we see somebody in a restaurant, they got their arm in a sling, and we have a thought come into our mind that says, I don't think that can happen. Mm-hmm. And we go, uh-oh, I just doubted. It's not going to happen. And what just happened is we put more faith in our thought than we put in action. And so, you know, faith without works is dead. So if you feel like you have no faith, do something.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I've learned, you know, temptation is not sin, right? The enemy can tempt you in your thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. And put these little thoughts there. Your flesh can tempt you in your thoughts. But if you haven't done anything with that thought, it's just a temptation. Jesus was tempted, yet he was without sin. So that thought of this may not happen or this looks impossible, that's just a temptation to back down. You've only messed up if you actually back down and don't go for it.
Right, right.
You know, if we go for it in love, love never fails. And so if love never fails, I can try and I can, even if the person isn't healed, if I've loved, I haven't failed. If they are healed, but I didn't love, I did fail.
Well, we're fixing to have to go. I would love it if you would stay for another program because I have so much more I want to be able to talk about.
Sure.
One is you got 20 Christians standing around a hospital bed, and they pick the phone up to call the pastor to pray. And it's like, well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Pray. You know, why you got to call them out at 2 o'clock in the morning? But can you close us out in prayer? And I want to encourage everybody. You know, Art's going to be here August the 29th through the 30th, right here, 28th through the 30th. Right here at VFN TV Studios. You can find out more at VFNTV.com. Can you close us out in prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those watching and your love for them. And I especially thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid for them.
Yes.
Right now, I feel led to speak specifically to tumors and cysts and lumps and things like that. Yes. So if you've got something like that, if you can reach it, put your hand there, wherever it is. And I curse that thing like Jesus cursed the fig tree and it shriveled up. We tell that thing to shrivel up, die in Jesus' name, never return. Yes. And we speak life and health to every healthy cell in your body right now. Yes. Cancer, go in Jesus' name, never return. And just feel for those things. See if the lump is still there. See if it shrank. If it's starting to shrink, if nothing's happened, you speak to it again. Yes. And if something's happened, please let us know. Send us an email or something like that. And anything else, if you need healing for anything, in Jesus' name, I speak to that. Every spirit of infirmity, leave in Jesus' name, never return. Thank you, Father. And we speak healing and wholeness to your bodies in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' praise name. You, Lord. Be sure to let us know. Go to VFNTV.com or call us at 844-VFN-TV. Stay tuned for the next program. We're going to have Art with us on the next program. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Hey, we were just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, is there something? You know, we prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Sure. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in
a
sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.